Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I am speaking with John LaDonis, and he is, among other things, an author of a book called Thanks Living, The Transforming Power of Journaling Gratitude into Your Life. Now, he's employed as a manager for a Department of Defense agency. He's written a number of articles that have been published in National Honors Report and the Wall Street Journal. And John, welcome to Life Quest.
Good morning, Pastor. It's great to be on your show.
Yeah, I thought before we go into your book, which has, you know, a fun title, Thanks Living instead of Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk about that, but tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Oh, I grew up Catholic.
Uh-huh.
So we spent our times in church on Sunday, and we were devoted to prayer, and I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't become a Christian, a saved follower and believer of Jesus Christ until I was out of college.
Okay.
And I graduated from St. Francis University, went on to work in New York City for a couple of years, and then came back to do my master's degree at Penn State University.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I met my girlfriend at the time. And she had attended church with me, and off and on in the Catholic Church, and then I would attend her church.
Mm-hmm.
She was living in Philadelphia at the time. And on Palm Sunday, 1995, she asked me if I wanted to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I did. And she led me through the Lord's Prayer, the Sinner's Prayer, actually,
mm-hmm.
and accepted Jesus as my Savior on that date. And so I've been a professed believer since 1995, and since then have moved to Columbus, Ohio in 1996, where I have lived since then.
So you've been asked to speak in a number of places, and you're a writer also. But now you've written this book called Thanks Living, and I've got to ask you, why this book at this time?
I guess the best way to answer that question is that it all came together on God's timeline. I'd been wanting to write a book for a long time, but with two young kids and a full-time job, it was hard just to find time to focus.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always on my mind, and it was a long-term goal of mine. And when I finally did get started, it took me 5.5 years to complete it, basically because there was soccer tournaments going on in the
right.
weekends and experiencing writer's block and just life in general going on. So it finally all came together in the last 2 years, and I was able to push through to the finish line with the help of my mentor, providing me with a lot of encouragement and confidence.
Sure.
But the book was in the making for really since I started keeping a gratitude journal back in 1997.
Oh, I see.
So I actually have close to 20 years of journaling experience to draw upon to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what we have to understand is that gratitude is more than just being polite to someone when they give you something or do something for you. It's more than just manners. It's one thing to be thankful in that kind of way, but all roads ultimately lead back to God. So I wrote this book to inspire and encourage people to pursue a closer relationship with Jesus by developing an attitude of gratitude and ultimately a transformation in the way they see things to notice how much God really is involved in their lives. And the best way, I believe, to accomplish that is through the practice of writing in a gratitude journal,
mm-hmm.
which I provided in the middle part of the book, of my book, Thanks Living. And really, it's all about living the grateful life all day, every day. But to finish answering your question, Pastor, I have to say all the glory and honor and credit belongs to God for this book becoming a reality. And in fact, a lot of times I really feel like I was just the guy who did the typing.
Very good. You know, I as I was looking through your book, you print a cartoon about a third of the way in the book, which I think defines everything. And it's a cartoon of a little girl with her family at Thanksgiving. And she's asking, why aren't we this thankful every day? And
right.
I was thinking about this as I read your book. There's a lot of whining and moaning about how bad things are in the world today, whether it's on talk radio or in news programs or whatever, though there is a certain part of the public media that seems to be trying its best to give good stories and positive stories and things like that of things that happen in the world. But there does seem to be an attitude, even in the general public at times, of, you know, how are things? Well, things are bad and don't look too good, do they? That attitude.
Right. And a lot of times the attitudes are so bad that they're hateful attitudes.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to, you know, I think our country has been in need of a revival for a long time. And instead of moving in that direction, we're moving in the opposite direction.
Right.
And so you're right. Over the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of distaste and hatred. And, you know, I think there's a lot of negative attitudes towards wealthy people as well. And I don't consider myself in that category by any stretch of the imagination. But there are many wealthy people, many rich people who contribute billions of dollars to the betterment of society. And some of the people who are outspoken against rich people may just be the ones who are benefiting from their donations in philanthropy. So, you know, there's billionaires who have openly pledged to give all of their money away, not to their family, but when they die. So,
right.
You know, in that light, there seems to be a lot of, you know, evil out there. And if you're going to hate anything, hate evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13 that we are to hate evil. And in 10:12, Proverbs 10:12, it says that hatred stirs up conflict. So I agree with you. There's a lot of ingratitude going on, and ingratitude is a sin. Make no mistake about that. And so what I'd like to see is for this country to turn a lot of hateful attitudes into grateful attitudes.
But in fact, it really does come down to the individual in their personal life, doesn't it?
It does.
Which becomes, therefore, an attitude that is spread from person to person, whether it's at work or in your families or in your neighborhoods. I would suggest, and you've probably come across this as you've talked about people journaling, and you did this even when you were in grade school. But you say, okay, yep. write down three things you're grateful for, or whatever, and sometimes people don't give much thought to that or have a lot of thought for it and don't come up with too much.
Right. And the thing with my gratitude journal is I have it set up. It's a 365-day journal embedded right in the book. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that you have to do is there's a date for each entry. So, for example, it would be January 8th. Comma at 2000, like it'd be 20, then a line for you to put the last two digits of the year in, and then it goes on to say, today I am thankful for, and then it has a number of lines for you to write down what you're thankful for. So it's all set up, it's all structured there for you, and my only thing with the book is that you come up with one thing a day, and the central question for the book is the following: if you came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked you, do you have 1 minute each day to write down something that you're grateful for that day, how would you respond? So we're really only talking about 1 minute's worth of your time to come up with something from the time you woke up in the morning, from mm-hmm. the time your feet hit the floor until you go to bed at night, to reflect. And what's just one thing that you could be thankful for? And You know, I'm not asking, you know, or recommending that you come up with five things. You know, that could be difficult some days. If you come up with five things, great. Write them all down. But I don't think it's too hard when we have so many, you know, minutes and seconds in the day, 1,440 minutes in a day, 86,400 seconds in a day, you know, to take 60 seconds and come up with just one thing. You know, for example, I'm driving to work today and in freezing rain and ice, and I got here safely.
Yeah.
You know, one thing to write down before my day really even gets started at work.
Sure, because a lot of people aren't going to have that experience. They're going to be driving in the bad weather, and they're going to have problems. You know, they have to call their insurance company or the hospital. You start in chapter two. In chapter two, I like this initial quote in the beginning of that chapter, where you quote someone as saying, "Much unhappiness results from our inability to remember the nice things that happened to us." You know, we can hold a grudge forever, but, you know, remembering nice things that happen, and but with a little thought, that becomes a habit, doesn't it? And you begin to be able to pull the positive things that have happened in your life, even from way back, up again.
That's right. And the thing about it is, the anchor verse of my book is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, mm-hmm. where it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the thing that I really focus on is the first two words of that, where it says, "In everything." And "in everything" doesn't mean just the good times or the promotions that happen or the babies that are born. "In everything" means in everything. And that includes the not-so-good times as well. So, now, do we go and pray for bad stuff or unfortunate stuff to happen? No, we certainly wouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. But it does say that we should be thankful for all things. So when something does happen that is a misfortune or bad or something to that effect, we should know and give thanks by saying, "Thank you, first of all, Jesus." If you're a believer, and this is contingent upon being a believer, that we can thank God that we have a Savior that we can turn to, first of all, and that He's there to walk with us hand in hand, arm in arm, and sometimes carrying us through the valley, through the storm, through the trial that you're going through. And then one day you can look back once you've reached the peak. You know, you move through the valley and you start up the mountain and you reach the peak. You look back and you thank God for what you've learned and how you've grown, how you've come to depend upon Him, and then ultimately see that, well, I went through a lot, I went through a dark time, but I'm grateful for how my faith has grown in the end.
And sometimes those things which are not good, and yet the great thing about God is that He can turn those things that aren't good into things that are positive. And we'll say, wow, right. I wouldn't be here if that hadn't forced me to turn an entirely different direction. I even thought about way back, you know, in college days, you know, and you pray, "Oh, Lord, this is the girl, this is the one." And mm-hmm. that later on, you have a prayer of thankfulness saying, "Thank God, you know, she wasn't the one." And so you move forward.
And I write in my book, I write in there, I'm thankful for the times where I didn't get what I wanted, what I prayed for.
Right.
You know, God answers, He answers all prayer. And we sometimes mistake the fact that if we don't get the answer that we want and in the time that we want, that He hasn't answered our prayer. But He answers all prayer. And if He answered all my prayers the way I wanted them to be answered, who knows where I might be or what might be going on. And I'll give you an example. I wanted to go back to my alma mater and work there. And I thought that I was the perfect candidate for the job,
right.
And I didn't get the job. Mm-hmm. And I was, but I was a young believer at the time and didn't understand some of the things that I have come to light now and that I talk about in the book. But when I reflect and look back and I understand that when the answer was no and God said, I'm closing this door and I'm opening this one because it's a better one for you. You may not understand that at the time, and it may be a few months, maybe even years down the road, and you say, oh boy, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't go, that you didn't let me get that job because, you know, look what, how good and how things are good right now, and who knows what other things may have been like if I had gotten what
right.
I wanted.
In one section of your book, you title it, Don't Just Say It, Display It. And there you're talking about trying to remember and expressing to people that have been positive influences in your life and expressing gratitude for that. And that got me thinking about, you know, even teachers that I had or just acquaintances, various people that I came across as I was a pastor or a teacher. And, you know, sometimes we're hesitant or we take for granted that they know we care about them. But it's good to hear. And this whole idea of, maybe an email, maybe a message, but there's nothing like a card or a letter, is there?
You're right. And we live in this technology-driven world today where, I grew up writing thank you notes. And my mom kind of forced me to do it. It wasn't something that I enjoyed doing, but we didn't have all that technology back then where we can write emails and send texts and Messenger and so forth like that. So I grew up on that, and I've instilled that in my kids. And it's easy. It's easy to send an email or send a text, you know, of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about receiving a handwritten thank you note where that person has taken time to sit down, to write it out, address it, stamp it, mail it to you, and you have something that you can hold on to when you open it up and maybe even save it. And so it just means more to you, more to the person receiving it. And back to your comment there, I like to think that I have a board of directors in my life. And so I look at it that way, that Jesus is like the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have three people who are my board members. And those are my go-to people that when there's something going on in life that I need some counseling or encouragement, that I have them to depend upon. These are good Christian people who will tell me if I'm doing something wrong or I need to be, that I'm off the track. I can count on them to tell me to get back on track, and this is how to do it. So we really need to have mentors and accountability people in our lives. And then and on the other side of that, we then in turn need to be mentors to other people to give them that experience. So it's about asking people with wisdom to be a part of your life and to help you through this life. It's, you know, Jesus said you're going to have trouble in this world, and we do, and we've got to be able to do it, but we don't have to do it alone.
The book is Thanks Living, The Transforming Power of Journaling Gratitude into Your Life by John LaDonis. John, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
The book is available online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and also ZulonPress.com, who's my publisher.
Uh-huh.
And or the audience could email me at ladonisbook@gmail.com, and I can mail them a book, an autographed copy of the book, and they can purchase it directly from me. And that would be LIDONNICEBOOK@gmail.com.
John, thanks so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.
It's been a pleasure, and I thank you for having me to be on as a guest.
I'd like to tell you about a couple of books that are coming up for interview in the next several weeks. One is called Delights and Disciplines of Bible Study. It's a guidebook for studying God's Word. It is by Warren W. Wiersbe, who has written prolifically. He's a best-selling author, pastor, radio host, and he shares his pleasure in God's Word. And this highly accessible guide to biblical interpretation and application. And Dr. Wiersbe offers real insight into history, meaning, and context of the entire Bible. And I've enjoyed it, friends, starting in Genesis through the Gospels to the last words of the Apostles. He answers questions that any believer would want answered in order to apply the Bible truths to our daily life and developing some skills in studying the Bible. I'm anxious to talk with him. I think the book's a good one, and I look forward to that time with Dr. Wiersbe. Another book is called What Are We Chasing? By Joe Coletti. And in these 9 chapters of a rather small book, he's helping us step back and reassessing our priorities, rediscovering practical ways to combat our secular culture. And I think we'll all be inspired and compelled to take action and make the changes necessary to attain a more fulfilling life while rediscovering true self, peace, and happiness. Those are just a couple of interviews coming up in the next several weeks here on LifeQuest. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.